How many of you in here could say that you're expecting something from God today? Only a couple? All right. Then you're going to get what you're expecting. The Bible says that knock and the door will be open. Ask and you shall receive. And so if you're asking, you're expecting, then you will be receiving. Let's all stand up and let's offer this service up to the Lord. Just close your eyes and let's stay in this attitude of where we're at. Father God, we just come to you today before you in this wonderful place that we get to gather and glorify your name. Father, just we know that we're here for a reason, Father, and we're here to expect you. We're here to hear from you in our lives and what to do for our lives and another way that we can hear your word ring true in our lives, Father God. So we just are here expecting. Holy Spirit, come and hover in this place. Father God, let your words come out of my mouth and into the hearts of the people, Father God, and your word be alive today. Your word ring true today. In Jesus' name we pray. And we all say amen. All right. You can sit down. Sorry. How many ever heard the phrase? I was reading some stuff this week, and how many ever heard the phrase "the real McCoy"? You ever heard of the phrase "the real McCoy"? What does that mean? Like the real deal, right? Now, do you know where that comes from? Well, I'm gonna tell you. It comes from a guy named Elijah McCoy, right? In 1844, he was a slave, right? He was a slave in Kentucky. And he escaped to Canada and with his family. And after it in Canada, he was shipped by his parents to England, to Europe, and he studied there at a school. He became a mechanical engineer, right? So former slave, escaped slavery, got schooled, became a mechanical engineer, and he invented something. He invented, after he was a mechanical engineer, he came back to the United States and lived in the North. It was still slavery time, lived in the North, and he was working for the railroad. And so what happened was he made this cup that automatically drips oil into the engines of the trains, right? Helps to lubricate the engine, and it keeps the life of the engine of the train longer so it can do more work for a longer period of time. Great invention, right? We all know that your car needs oil so that the engine doesn't, lock up and corrode and basically break. And so he invented this little thing that automatically drips oil into the engine. And that increased the efficiency of the engines. And it was kind of expensive, but it was good for the trains, good for the railroads. And these other people on the other side started to come up with different ways, but kind of the same idea, but different ways, right? But it wouldn't work the same way that Elijah McCoy's, they called him the McCoy Cup, would work. And so the engineers of the engines, the engineers of the railroad, the engineers of the trains would demand the real McCoy. There were so many other lookalikes out there, right, that didn't really work. It didn't really do what it was supposed to do. But the engineers knew the McCoy cup was the real McCoy, was the real deal. And I like that story because when it comes to being a believer or a follower of Christ, or you can call it being a child of God or being an inheritor of the kingdom of God or being a Jesus freak or whatever you want to call it yourselves if you follow Christ, when it comes to following Christ, you have to ask yourself, are you the real McCoy? Are you the genuine article? Are you the real thing? And that's a question we have to ask ourselves. There's so many other things out there that may look like it does what it's supposed to do, that may say what it's supposed to do, but when it comes down to it, it doesn't do what it's supposed to do. And so when you put that in the context of being a believer in Christ, we have to ask ourselves, and everything that we see, is that the real McCoy? I thought that was I read it from an article. That was a great article to read about how believers should be. Are we the real McCoy? And what does that real McCoy look like? If we obey God, if we obey teachings of Christ, we're doing what we are supposed to be doing. Therefore, that would make you the real McCoy. If you don't obey, then you would be like those other fake knockoff things, right? And you wouldn't be the real McCoy. And so I was looking up some names of some past pastors and some past big world evangelists. And you might have recognized some of these names. And before I name them off, I'm going to talk about a little bit what Pastor Eric was talking about in faith. I read it in a statement somewhere that faith leads to obedience. Your faith will lead you to obedience. And then following that, obedience will lead you to a life filled with doing the will of God. Seems like a pretty good statement, right? So faith leads to obedience. Obedience leads to a life filled with doing the will of God. And a life doing the will of God helps to set people free. You know, take Jesus, for example. Was he the real McCoy? Let's look at it, right? Did he do the will of the Father? Did he obey the will of the Father? Did he set people free? He did what he was supposed to do by obedience to the Father. Thus, we can call Jesus Christ the real McCoy, not a fake. A life in obeying God, you are doing the will of God. You're helping people be set free from bondage. You're helping people set free from addictions. You're helping people set free from the past life or the past person that they used to be. But you have to be the real McCoy. If you're the fake, you might just be in it for what those other inventors were in it for, the money. You might just be in it for the fame. You might just be in it for whatever your heart desires to be in it for. But the real McCoy will obey and do the will of the Father and do what it was supposed to do and do what is it designed to do. You follow me? So we have many examples through the Word. If you look in your Word, if you read your Word as you should, and if you don't read your Word, there's a Bible reading list back there to get you started. But if you read through the Word, there's a bunch of people in here, examples of faith. Noah, Abraham, Job, Moses, Joshua. Who do I got? I got Samuel, I got David, Jonah, Elijah, Elisha, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Nehemiah, Jesus, the disciples, Paul, Timothy, etc., etc., etc. All through here are examples of faith, the real McCoy. Why are they the real McCoy? Because if you read the stories about them, they were obedient to what they were supposed to do. Recently, if you could go back a few hundred years in the Christian movement, you could go back as early in the United States as a guy named John Robinson. You may not have heard of him. He was the pastor of the Pilgrims in England. The pastor of the Pilgrims in England, who had to leave England to go to Holland because King James was after them because they weren't listening to the monarchy. So John Robinson pastored these pilgrims and said, we need to get out of here. And so he helped the pilgrims get the Mayflower and come across the Atlantic Ocean and land in the New England area, right? We all know that story. The pilgrims landed on Plymouth Rock, right? Rode the Mayflower, right? So John Robinson really brought Christianity over here to the United States. So John Robinson obeyed the word of God. There's a lot of history back in the Pilgrims and in the separatist movement of England that if you get into it, you'd be fascinated on what happened there. I encourage you to look it up. But there's John Robinson. There's John Wycliffe. You may have heard of Wycliffe Bibles and commentaries. John Wycliffe. There's William Tyndale. Tyndale makes Bibles. There's Martin Luther, John Calvin, Susan Wesley, John Wesley. There's Charles Spurgeon. There's D.L. Moody. There's Smith Wigglesworth. Now, these aren't people in the Bible, but if you read history, these are the real McCoy. These are the people who took God's word and put it into action. Smith Wigglesworth, C.I. Scofield, A.W. Tozer, Billy Graham, Charles Swindoll, Charles Stanley, Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Bill Johnson, Calvin and Barbara Scott. You know these people. These are people who take God's word and put it into action, who take what God had told them to do, obeyed it, the real McCoy, doing what they are supposed to do. So faith, these people that we listed, their faith led them to a life of obedience. And that life of obedience led them to the great things that you read about them doing. Those people were no different than you, except maybe that they are obeying what God told them to do. And maybe we're not yet. I'm going to switch directions, and I'm going to talk about something before we get into the word a little bit. How many of you have been to a restaurant before? How many of you been to a gas station? Yeah. What about a grocery store? Clothing store? Okay, so we've been these places. Now let me ask you a question. What if every restaurant, what if every gas station, what if every clothing store, what if every grocery was the same? Boring? What if you went to Walmart? Everything was Walmart. Everything was Walmart. Everything's Walmart. Or what if you went to get gas and everything was Chevron? Or everything was Shell? They're all the same. They sell the same things, same prices, same. What if you went to a clothing store and it was all the Gap? It was all the Gap. Everything was, you went to a store and it was just the Gap. Everything was Gap. No difference, right? Well, what if that would be the case? Boring. If everything was the same, then nothing would stand out as being different. If everything was the same, then quite frankly and simply, everything that you look at, everything that you buy would be the same. Imagine if it was the Gap, everybody had sold the same clothes and was the same male clothes and the same female clothes, and all you would see around you is the same male, female clothes. We'd all be dressed the same. We go to the hairstylist. Every hairstylist only does one hairstyle and it's the same hairstyle. You would have no decision, no choice. That's not good. I know. Nothing would stand out. But what if a restaurant, let's talk about this. What if a restaurant, or what if that restaurant separated itself from the norm and did something different? What would that restaurant look like? You'd have all these same Olive Gardens right here, and all of a sudden now we have TGI Fridays. What would be appealing to have that TGI Fridays? It's not the norm, right? It's different. Now what if that gas station separated itself from Shell and became Douglas Gas Station and had the cheapest gas in town, had a lot of different drinks that you could buy, and had a bunch of different things that you could get into? What is the difference? This gas station separated itself and it has other things, right? It also has gas, but it has other things. And what if there was a new clothing store that separated itself from the Gap? Now what? Now what? Now we have new clothes. Now we got something different. Now we can be who we are. What if a grocery store separated itself? It's no longer Food City. It's fries. It's something different. It has different food, has different taste, has different feel. Now why are we talking about this? These places would stand out as separate, as another, as a different kind of service, as a service that is new, as a service that might be something better, and as a service that might be something great. That's why they're separate. They broke out from the norm to be separate. Those people that I listed are examples of those Christians, of those believers that separated themselves from the norm and became, the word tells us that we are separated from the world, right? They became separated from the world, but to be separated and recognized so that they could give back to the world. You understand? You understand? If I'm the world and I go to the Gap to get my clothes, and now we have another store, Ross, what they're doing is they're providing another service to me. They're not in it for themselves. If I never go there, they're never going to succeed, right? But if I go there, if they give me a place to go, then they're going to do what they meant to do and give me another service. So these people that separated themselves from the world are there to give a service to the world. So we as Christians, we don't just separate ourselves from the world and be like, no, you're over there, I'm over here. No, I separate myself so that I can give you something. And what are we giving them? The love of Christ, right? We're giving them these things. We're giving them a whole bunch of stuff. So the church, the body of Christ, you and me, are given the Holy Spirit. We're given the power of God so that we can give back the power of God. We, the church, the body of Christ, you, me, are given the power of God to be a service to the world. But that can only happen if we are obedient to God's word, to be able to separate ourselves from the world so that we can be recognized by the world to be a service to the world. But it takes obedience. It takes obedience. Let's turn your Bibles to Matthew. Everybody all right? Everybody okay? Matthew chapter 7. And what I'm going to read is, I'm going to read a bunch of scriptures that talk about one thing. Because I believe that one thing is very necessary for the next thing. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 says this. We're going to read all the way through 27, and I'm going to read out the NIV, but it doesn't really matter what version you read out. It all says the same thing. Verse 21 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." So right there, it tells us what? Not everybody will get into heaven, but only those who say, "Lord, Lord." No, it says, not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. That's called obedience. 22 says, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Jesus is saying that because these people were doing things for the kingdom, but with the wrong motive. 24 says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the stream rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundations on the rock." 26, "But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds the house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Verse 24 says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine..." So there's one part here. You first have to hear, right? So you have to listen to the word of God. And then it says, "and put them into practice." That means we have to obey, listen, do, act. Act on those things that they're telling you to do. Put into practice. Put into practice. Let's go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 21 through 23. I just love reading the word. I hope you love reading the word. The word just reveals so many things. It says this, "Whoever has my commands..." Here it is again. "Whoever has my commands..." So I have them. I heard them. I have them. "And obeys them, he is the one who loves me. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." It says, and then Judas says this, and then Judas, not Judas of Iscariot, but says, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father then will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Let's turn to Romans. We're going to go through some scriptures here. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 17. It says, "But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness." Obeying the word. Thanks be to God that you used to be slaves, you used to be in bondage, you used to be controlled by another power, you then obeyed the wholehearted teaching of Jesus Christ, and now you're set free, obeying, obedience. Let's go to James 1. Now you can read the whole chapter in James 1 if you would like to, but I'm just going to read verse 21 through 27. It says, "Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." So, you heard the word, it was planted inside of you. Now it says, humbly accept it. That means take it for yourself and run with it. 22, "Do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourself, but do what it says. Verse 23, anyone who listens to the word but does not do it, what it says, is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looked like. So the word of God, the commandments of the Lord Jesus that he told us to do, we should obey them. If we heard them but don't do it, it's like we forgot who we were. If you hear the word of God and then go outside of these walls, if you read the word of God at your house and then go outside of your house and don't do what it says, it's like you don't know who you're talking to. You don't know who's who. You forgot who you were. You became another person then. James chapter 2. You're right there. James chapter 2 verse 12 tells us, "Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom because..." Oh, that's why I put that in. "Speak and act like those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Merciful triumphs over judgment." Why do we obey? Why should we obey? Speak and act like those who are going to be judged by the law of freedom. That means by the commandments that Jesus Christ had given you. Speak and act like that person because mercy triumphs. Jesus was merciful. He taught to be merciful. Therefore, we speak and act like that. Therefore, we are mercy, full of mercy. Thus, mercy triumphs judgment. 2 Thessalonians. A couple more scriptures. 2 Thessalonians, if I can find it. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 5 through 10 says this, "All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering." Verse 6, "God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to those to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." So, another reason to obey, I suppose. "They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled among all those who have believed. This includes you, because you believed testimony." So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, do we obey or do we not obey? That's what I'm pulling from here. Let's turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5. The word of God is powerful. The word of God is revealing. In some places it says that the word is like a two-edged sword. It cuts. Chapter 5, verse 8 and 9 says this, "Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him." There's a lot about obeying the word of God here. There's a lot about the reasons why we should obey. Be in obedience. There's a lot of scripture about how we should live our lives in obedience to the Father, in obedience to the teachings of Jesus. Let's turn to Revelation. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22 says in verse 14, "Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city." At first, I didn't really understand what wash the robes meant, but I can tell you that those who are striving each and every day to obey the word of God are those washing their robes each and every day. And those who wash their robes, it says, blessed are those who wash their robes. Blessed are those who strive every day to obey the teachings of the word of God. Blessed are you who wash your robe every day. That's a good thing to know. Blessed are you who wash your robe every day. That means blessed are you who are obedient, who remain faithful. Now, blessed are those who wash their robes. Let's get one thing straight. You only need to wash your robe if it gets dirty. The Bible tells us that we're sinners. We get dirty. But if we strive every day to clean our robes, to wash our robes, and to live each day the best we can in obedience to the Father, blessed are you who wash your robes. Blessed are you who wash your robes. Those people, it says, that those people may have the right to the tree of life, and they will go through the gates. Blessed are you who strive each and every day to wash your robe. Yeah, we get dirty sometimes. Yeah, we make a wrong decision. Yeah, whatever. It happens. Okay. But God's love will wash that robe. God's forgiveness will wash that robe. Repentance will wash that robe. Therefore, you are now blessed and able to enter the gates. But that has to be a daily thing. Most of us don't walk around in dirty clothes, or we try not to. We wash our clothes. Why? They get dirty. So when our lives get dirty, we wash our lives. We wash our lives and strive not to get dirty again. But are we going to get dirty? Do things come at us? Yes. Do circumstances arise? Do we make the right decision all the time? No. But when we repent, we wash our robes. We wash our robes. Now, I talk a lot about here, I brought up scriptures, a lot of scriptures that talked about obedience. And then the first statement I made today was that faith leads to obedience. Your faith that Jesus Christ died on the cross and that he suffered for you and that he took away your sins, that faith leads you to be obedient because you know what he did for you. Now it's our turn to be obedient to that. There's a simple, for you, how many of you like math in here? There's a simple equation that talks about obedience. There's a simple equation that talks about obedience. And if you like math, you like equations. I like math, so math is okay to me. This equation has three variables. You know, variables in math, x, y, z, a, b, c. This equation explains what obedience is all about and how this works in our daily life. Application. The reason why we need an equation in math is so that we can apply it to the problem and get the answer. So, let's apply this equation to our problem in our life, thus we get the answer. So, obedience is, there's three factors. There's three variables that have to be combined together for obedience to really work in your life. And I'm working on this. I've been studying this out for a few months. I've been working on this obedience thing. There's three equations or three factors that have to go into play. Obedience equals, that means there's three things, right? You got to have love plus trust plus action. Those three things added together is going to equal obedience. And we'll talk about it. Let's turn to John 14. I know we were there earlier. Let's turn to John 14. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And we're going to talk about the first variable, which is love. Say amen when you get to John 14. All right. One is following. That's cool. Amen. All right. John 14, verse 15. Very says this. This is the first part of the equation, first variable, first factor. It says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Plain Jane, plain simple, right? If you love me, you're going to obey. So love has to be in the equation. Obedience is then going to come only when we have, number one, we have love. If you love me, you will obey what I command. It all starts with love. Obedience comes, it has to. Obedience must come from knowing that God loves you, so in turn, you love him. If you have a significant other and you know that they love you, you love them. If you have friends and you know that they love you, that makes it all the more easier to what? Love them. So God loves you, and the knowledge of God loving you should make it very simple for you to love him. So it all starts with love. And it says right there, Jesus says in his own words, if you have a red letter Bible, it says right there, Jesus says, if you love me, if we love Jesus, you will obey what I command. So obedience has to start with the first factor of love. Has to. Let's turn to Psalms. We're going to go Psalms 147. Psalm 147, verse 11. It says, the Lord delights in those who fear him who put their hope in his unfailing love. Now, fear here is not what you believe. You see, a lot of people may believe that obedience is a bad word. You know, be obedient to me. Your father or your mother may have put down, you need to obey what I'm saying. And that is a out of fear reaction then. But it's not a bad word. But what God wants you to see is that obedience to him is a relationship of love with him. You see, what we said before with love, right? If you have a significant other, I have a wife, you know, and if I know that she loves me, then that makes it easier for me to love her, but also it makes me easier to trust what she's saying, to trust what's happening, to trust what she's doing, to trust that she knows what's going on. So therefore, if you trust what God is saying to you, if you trust and if you believe that he loves you, you have two of the three steps of the equation. You have love, you have trust. You see, Psalms 147:11 says, the Lord delights in those who fear him, but it says, they who do that, they put their hope. Hope is a synonym for trust in certain tenses. They put your trust in his unfailing love. They put their hope in his unfailing love. So now we have two parts to the equation. When you have love, you put your trust in them. And when you have the trust, then that leads you to be active about that relationship. So you have love, you have trust, which ultimately then leads to action. Let's turn to Matthew. We were there before. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 16 and 17. By the fruits you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. We will know them by the way they act, by their actions. So therefore, obedience, you get obedience when you have love, trust, and action. Somebody says they love God and they're a follower of Christ. Are they the real McCoy? Guess what? Let's see. Do they have love? Do they have trust? And are they active about what they're doing? If we took that story of the real McCoy, and the real McCoy doesn't drip the oil into the engine, it's obviously not the, it may look like the real McCoy, it may say the real McCoy on it, but it doesn't drip the oil, not the real McCoy. Obedience takes love, trust, and action. Matthew 28, many of you probably know this particular chapter. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, very common scripture. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Right there. Therefore, go. Guess what? Go is an action term. Therefore, go and make disciples, making something. That's an action term. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing. You got to do something there. There's a baptism. You have to act. Baptize them in the name of the Holy Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them. Teaching is an action term. And teaching them to obey, again, obey everything I've commanded, and surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. So Matthew 28 tells us that we have to obey the commandments. The disciples were to do active things. They were to put their love and trust into action. They were to put their love and trust into action. So they loved Jesus, they trusted Jesus, so the only thing is now to obey his commands. Go and do. The disciples were to baptize people because baptism unites believers with Jesus. So that's an action term. The people had to do something. Baptism symbolizes submission. Submission is a synonym for obedience to Christ. A willingness. You don't do it because you have to. You do it because you want to. A willingness. You act not because out of force, you act not because you have to, you act because you love Christ, you act because you trust what he says, you act because you want to be obedient to the person who died on the cross, who saved you from an eternity of hell. It's a willingness. You need to have all three. Action without love is religion. Action without love is religion. It's just tradition. I do things because I'm doing things. I don't really know why I'm doing it. I'm just doing it. It's just an obligation. I'm doing it out of obligation. I'm supposed to do it, so I'm just going to do it. You got to have all three. Without love, your actions are just religious acts, just religious duties, obligations. And love without action is just a bunch of talk. Love without action is just, I can say I love you. I can say to my wife, I love you. But if I don't show that love, then it's just a bunch of talk. It's just a bunch of talk. See, if we take Jesus as the example, Jesus said, I love you. And what did he do? He acted on that. He set people free. He healed people. He went to them and did miraculous things. You can read about them all in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. He loved the people so much that he did all those things while he was living. And then the ultimate thing is that he loved us so much 2,000 and whatever years later that he died on the cross 2,000 years ago for you to sit here today. He acted on that. That's a show of love. That's a show of obedience. He knew that his Father sent him to do something, and he obeyed. And he obeyed. So you have to have all three. Love plus trust plus action. When you have all those three combining and strongly, you will equal obedience. Love of God, trusting God, and acting on it. Acting on what God has told you to do in your life for the kingdom. So what does this whole obedience thing look like? You know, I broke it down because some of it is a little bit, what does that mean? Let's just break it down. It means that there has to be knowledge of the Word of God. So let's talk about this. Jesus said to the disciples, hey, go and make disciples of all nations and teach them to obey my teachings, right? So that means that the disciples, the people after Christ, then had to go to people and teach them about the commands of Jesus. So there has to be a knowledge of what Jesus was talking about. First of all, somebody has to tell me about Jesus in order for me to know and come to Jesus. Somebody that you're talking to, first of all, has to be told who Jesus is and why he's good in order for them to start to trust and love and act. So there has to be a knowledge of the truth of God, of the truth of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. We have to meet Jesus. We have to know about him first. Once there is a knowledge, then this knowledge will lead people to repentance. What is this all about? Okay, now it's time for me to make a decision, right? If you're telling me about Christ, first of all, I got to know who Christ is. I got to know why he's good. And then knowing that, having that knowledge, will lead me then to repent. Once I repent, then, this allows then the whole... repentance is, blessed are those who wash the robes. Repentance is washing your robe. Repentance is wiping the slate clean. Repentance is forgiveness. And once we are forgiven, then we become a holy vessel and the Holy Spirit then can come inside. Because the Holy Spirit does not dwell where darkness is. Therefore, we have to wash ourselves, repent, be forgiven. Holy Spirit then can come in and live. And the Holy Spirit then will come in and give us that renewing experience, that transformation experience. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Most High, dwells then within you, changes you, transforms you into a new person. So we have to have knowledge, and that knowledge brings us to repentance, and that repentance brings us to have the Holy Spirit dwell inside of us. And once we are filled with that same Spirit that the Holy Spirit that Jesus was filled, the same Spirit that empowered Jesus to do all of those miraculous things that we read about, the same Spirit fills us, fills you. That means we become more like him. And that we become more like him, that means we are empowered to act like him. What does that mean? The power of the Holy Spirit gives us direction. The direction that we need to obey the commands. The direction that we need to live our Spirit-filled lifestyle. The direction that we need to go and make disciples. This power enables us to have a kingdom mindset. This power enables us to have an eternal mindset, knowing that there is something beyond. Then when we obey his word, God is faithful and God will supply you with blessings. That's kind of how it works. The Bible tells us, we read scripture after scripture, if you obey, when you obey, 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 obey. So the key is obedience. Obedience to what? Obedience to God. Well, what about God? What did he tell you to do? What does he want you to do? What did he call you to do? What did he put you on this earth to do? When you do those things, that's one part of being obedient. What's the other part? Jesus tells us, go and make disciples of all nations. It says then, go teach them my commands. Go teach them to obey my commands. So when we obey God's word, God is faithful and just, and he will supply you with the blessings that you want. We like stuff. He may give you stuff, as long as that stuff doesn't become higher than him. Because once we start to obey the stuff, we stop obeying him. Obedience leads to these blessings, and I wanted to know the blessings. Turn to Psalm 128. Some people call them blessings, and in my studies, some people call them rewards. Some people call it motivation. You know, when we do something good, it's always nice to have somebody point it out, right? Think about when you were in grade school and you answered the question right. What did the teacher do? Gave you a piece of candy, maybe. Looked at you in the eye, said, great job. Gave you praise. Maybe come up to you and give you a high five, pat on the back, right? If you have children, how awesome is it when they actually obey what you say? It's awesome. You praise them for that, right? You give them honor for obeying what you told them. Our Father is no different. Our Father in heaven is no different. When we obey, the word says when we obey his commands, he will bless our lives. So what are those blessings? 128, Psalm 128. This is a good scripture. Blessed are all who fear the Lord and who walk in his ways. Blessed are all of those people who obey, who fear the Lord, who understand what the Lord's talking about, and who walk in his ways, which is to obey his commands. You will, it says this, verse 2, you will eat the fruit of your labor. You know, you reap what you sow. You get back what you gave. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. I like this next one. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem, and may you live to see your children's children. Those are some of the blessings. If we read Deuteronomy 32, I'm not going to go there. If you read Deuteronomy 32, Proverbs 3, we are blessed if we obey with a long life. If we read Ecclesiastes, if we read Romans chapter 8, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, we are blessed with his protection from above if we obey his commands. If we read about Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 8, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, Acts chapter 2, we are blessed with gladness, joy, happy life. If we read Psalms 119, Isaiah 26, Philippians chapter 4, we are blessed with great peace. Colossians chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, we are blessed with the assurance of salvation. Salvation of what? Salvation to know that we will spend eternity in heaven with the Father. That's good news. 1 John, we are blessed to know that God answers prayers, that God will hear what you're saying, and he will answer your prayers. John chapter 14, Matthew 28, Hebrews chapter 13, all tell us of the blessings of the conscious, of the tangible presence of God happening to those who obey his word. So he will come to you, speak to you. He will surround you. He will protect you. He will give you your heart's desire. The Bible talks about it. We talk about the prosperity stuff all the time. Yes, it's true, but we have to obey his word. I read about the rewards or the motivation to obey. What if I don't want to? We know people. I'm sure we know some people who choose not to obey. So we should know that. We should know what the word says about those who choose not to. If we know what the blessings and what the rewards are for those who obey, then we should also know the Bible calls them curses of those who do not. So Romans chapter 2, when I read this and when I read this this past week and yesterday and this morning, I'm saddened by all the friends and family that I have who have heard the word, who have the knowledge, but have not come to that repentance point yet. which means they are rejecting the gospel. It saddens me. But the word of God says this, verse 8, chapter 2. But for those who are self-seeking, for those who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil. First the Jew, then the Gentile. That's the reward of those who reject the word. But I like verse 10, because verse 10 says this. Verse 10 says, but glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good. Praise God for that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo! For those who do good, first the Jew, then the Gentile. But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good. And what he's talking about is glory and honor and peace to all of those people who know the word, believe the word, all of those people who love God, all those people who trust God, and all of those people who put those three factors into play, love God, trust God, and act on it, because that is obedience to the word, glory, honor, and peace to those who are obedient. Glory and honor and peace. That's me. That's you. Glory and honor and peace to you who obey. Glory and honor and peace. Glory and honor and peace. 2 Thessalonians, I was reading chapter 1, verse 8, paints another picture. If we want to stay on this obedience topic, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 paints another picture. It says, he will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Verse 9 goes on down. It all talks about those things that happen to those who do not obey. But you who obey, Romans chapter 2 says, those who believe, those who obey the commandments, glory, honor, peace. Glory, honor, peace. If we talk about it, a long life, protection, gladness, great peace, the assurance of salvation, answering prayer, and his presence are all rewards, are all motivation to be obedient. So you need to ask yourself, do I believe? Do I really trust God? Do I really love God? Am I acting the way that God wants me to act? Because if you are, then you are showing true obedience. But if you're not, the Bible tells you what happens. Question you need to ask yourself is, have you obeyed what you already know God wants you to do? Has God put something in your heart, in your life, that you're supposed to be doing something, but you just, I don't want to do it yet? I read that as, if I didn't do something that my mother or my father told me to do, where would I be? My mom was pretty strict. If I didn't do what my mom told me to do, I would get, we had a paddle. Sorry, Mom, if you're listening. We had a paddle, and it had the words love on it. Nina's seen it. Yeah. It's because she wanted me to do something that was probably good for me to do. I just didn't want to do it. And see, so God does the same thing. He laid it out. These are the things that you should do. Why? Because he loves us. He loves you. He wants you to do good. He wants good things to happen to you. He gave you the way to do it. He gave you the information that you need to have those good things happen to you. But you don't do it. There's a choice that you make, right? If you have a relationship with your parents, then you understand where they're coming from, especially if you have kids, and now you understand where they're coming from. Now that I have children, I understand now why they were the way they were. Okay. God is our Father, and he understands that we have things that we want to do, but he has a greater plan. So therefore, he lays it out for you to tell you, obey my commands, obey my teachings, and this is what will happen to you. Prosperity, a long life, protection, answers to prayers. But what he also does is he also tells you the opposite side. See, God is a good father. He lays it out and says, okay, look, son, look, daughter, you got two choices to make. You can either do this choice, and this is what's going to happen to you. That's good. You got this choice right here, and this is what's going to happen to you, and that's bad. You decide. You decide. We decide. We decide whether we want to obey or whether we don't want to obey. Because God has a relationship with you. He doesn't force you to do anything. He tells you, lays it out. hey, I love you. We have a relationship. I'm going to tell you. This is the deal. This is what's happening. This is the truth. Let's turn to John. And we're going to end the service today. And I want you all to stand. Peter, can you play something nice? See, in John, see, what you have to understand about God is that God calls us to a relationship. And what's a relationship? It's a mutual friendship, right? It's a mutual give and take with another person. That's a relationship. A give and take. God calls you to a relationship where he is Lord, and then because he is Lord, you are willing to do and to be anything that he wants you to be. If we respond to him as Lord, he will lead us to do the best and to be the best and to be even be bigger than we could dream. If we don't follow him, we put ourselves in a box and we lock ourselves in there because we don't want to go out and do what God told us to do. We put ourselves in a box and say, I'm not going to follow you. I'm going to stay here. I'm staying here. I'm not going to follow you. I'm staying here. I'm not going to obey you. I'm staying here. We miss all of those rewards. We miss all of those blessings. We miss that eternal blessing. I want you to close your eyes and just take some active participation. Still keep your finger on John chapter 14. God has probably given you an assignment. You probably know what that assignment is. If you don't, be in obedience and God will answer your prayer. But see, God will never give you an assignment that he knows that you cannot complete. He will give you the power. Well, he already has given you the power to complete that assignment. And so what I want you to do, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to see that assignment. If you know God has given you an assignment, look at it. Visualize it. See it. If you don't know what that assignment is, I want you to take this time and ask God, what is my assignment? Show me my assignment. Keep your eyes closed. Keep your eyes focused on that assignment. Jesus promised, if you love me, you will obey what I command. If you love me, you will obey what I command. If anyone loves me, it's Jesus speaking. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. God has given you an assignment. Look at it. Jesus said again to the disciples, to you, to me, keep your eyes looking at that assignment. In John 13, 17, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. If you look at your assignment that God has given you, Jesus says, now that you know that I'm your Lord, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. God has given us all an assignment, all a path to take in our lives and things to do and a calling, some people would call it. You have been taught the word. You know. Jesus says, now you'll be blessed if you do it. I'd like for all of us to just raise our hands up. And just in your own words, in your own prayer voice, if you haven't been doing what you're called to do, you've been in disobedience to the Lord, it's time to ask for forgiveness and wash our robe. If you've been in obedience, following the call of God on your life, then I pray, and we should all pray, for continued strength in that calling, continued direction. And if you need and you desire your calling, if you don't know, then now's the time in your own prayer voice to lift that prayer up. Father God, Father God, we come to you this morning as humble servants, Father. Father, if we've been in disobedience, we ask for your forgiveness. Father, forgive me. Forgive me, Father God. Oh, Father, forgive me. Thank you for your forgiveness, for I lift that disobedience up to you. And I am washed by your blood. Father, now I ask for those who need their calling, who are striving for their calling, show them, Father God. If that's you, ask. Show me my path, Lord. Give me direction. If you are walking in the calling of the Lord in your life, let's lift him up and ask for continued strength. Continued strength and continued path of righteousness. Father, I thank you for the path of righteousness that you've put each and every single disciple here today on. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. For we say this day, yes, Lord, I will obey your commands. Repeat after me. I will obey your commands. I will obey your commands. I will obey your commands. Lift it up. I will obey your commands. I will obey. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are Lord of our life. You are director of our path. Father, as we go today, I pray that your Holy Spirit give strength to each and every person who's here today to be the real McCoy, to be in obedience, to love you, to trust you, and to show it. Give them the strength and direction to stand firm. When evil enters their mind, when evil enters their doorstep, Father, I pray for protection. Yes, Lord, and a strength to stand. And a strength to stand. And a strength and a boldness to stand for the one true God. A strength and a boldness to stand. In these things we ask. In these things we say in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In these things we ask in your holy name. Yes, Father, I can stand. I want you to repeat this out. I can stand because you're my God. I can be obedient because you're my God. I have the strength to stand when evil is coming at me. Ooh, hallelujah. Yes. 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 Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for these people. Glory, honor, and peace to each of your disciples here today. Glory and honor and peace. Glory and honor and peace. Glory and honor and peace. Glory and honor and peace be with all of you today and every day. In Jesus' name, we pray. We all say amen. Thank you for coming today. Before you leave, I encourage you, say hi and goodbye and love you to anybody here. Pick somebody, pick two people, pick three people. Give them a hug, say I love you. Give them a hug. Hug show that you care. Thank you. Have a wonderful week. Have a wonderful time in the Lord. Don't forget tonight. We have a service at 6 p.m. Spirit Fire Worship. Spirit Fire. Be here 6 p.m. tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.